Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that there is no God like you. And we thank you, Father, because we are stars in your movie. And we thank you because we know the script. We have the script. We study the script. We are here to study the script. And we know exactly what role we play in this movie. And we thank you, Father, because at the end of it, we are winners. And at the end of it, we are victorious. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know where we stand. And even while everybody else is caught up in the futility of this world, we know where we stand, and we know the end of it all. We know where it ends, and it ends with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we glorify your name, where we are adorned and we are beautiful, and we begin the process of our everlasting reward. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today I intend to speak to you about the spirit of the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude. Some people might not even have heard that phrase anywhere. But we'll go to Exodus chapter 12. Today we are going to read a lot of scriptures. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides the children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and the flocks and the herds, a great deal of livestock. Now the question is, who are the mixed multitude, and how does it have anything to do with why we are here to study the end times? Apart from the fact, of course, that's in the scripture and we should know everything that is, but who really are the mixed multitude, and what role do they have to play in our lives? Now, after about 210 years, of the Israelites being in Egypt, there were, of course, a few people who had intermarried. Amen? Now, as a result of the intermarriages, there were people who were not entirely Hebrews, but were not entirely Egyptians. So there were a mixture between Hebrew and Egyptians. They were called the mixed multitude. Now, these people, in this system that was, were actually not as tormented as the real Hebrews in the days of slavery, because they had Egyptian blood. It's more or less the way, in apartheid South Africa, the difference between a colored person who was a half-caste and a black person was so big in terms of the privileges you allowed, because there were some places where you would not go if you're black and you could go if you're colored. But of course, the colored would never get to the level of the white, okay? But in between, so while the apartheid squeezed the black people, the colored somehow, it was a bit better for them. Eh? Now that's the mixed multitude. That's what it was for them. Now when the slavery began, they usually had roles of taskmasters, of foremen, and they were the people who were actually pushing the rest of the people to work. So they kind of like lorded it over the Hebrews in the days of the slavery. Now the Bible says Pharaoh died, and the children of Israel mourned and cried out to the Lord because their burden had become so heavy. Now why did they wait for Pharaoh to die? Because when Pharaoh died, they had several days of mourning for him, so they did work. So it was the only time they had off their labor. So they used that time to cry to the Lord and say, you know, all these things. And we know what happened thereafter. Now, these people who were half Egyptian and half the mixed multitude, they are not exactly hard-pressed like you are. So they are not crying for salvation like the other people. So they are somewhere halfway in between. And they had certain privileges which the rest of the Hebrews did have. So when these people are crying for salvation and God sends Moses, these ones are somewhere in there. But then, at the end of the whole thing, at the Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, the mixed multitude, in the end, are two Hebrew to stay in Egypt, and yet are too Egyptian to completely assimilate among the Hebrews. You understand? So they are in between. But still, because Egypt was tired of all of them, it sent all of them away. So the mixed multitude came and went with the whole company of people. Praise the Lord. So, now as a result of which, because Egypt for them did not represent a place of torment like it did for the Hebrews, they kind of went with half of their hearts still in Egypt. So they never really felt that this was absolute salvation. It was for them, it was only partial salvation. They wanted to see what is there. What are we going into? Is it going to be better than this? But now remember this. From Egypt, where the mixed multitudes were above the Hebrews, now as soon as they leave Egypt, now the mixed multitude actually below, and they are not even allowed to be under the cover of God's protection, you know, the cloud cover. So now from being in the Egyptian slavery, they were above these Hebrews, but now suddenly they are beneath them because they are not real Hebrews, you understand? Eh? So now the order has changed, but they don't really feel that, let's see what's ahead here. If it's good enough, then yeah, but otherwise, a part of them still wants to be in Egypt because they are still holding on to a few privileges that were still there. Anyhow, so in a way, their hearts were never really embraced the God of the Hebrews. Neither did they embrace his ways. Okay? Now, in Psalm 78, actually, the scripture speaks about the mixed multitude, but not just them, what they managed to do among the children of Israel. Because it talks about how, let's read verse 8. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Now, this is what the mixed multitude did, and this is actually what they made the Hebrews do. Because they are going, but their heart. Now, I'm going to show you how all this plays out throughout all the Bible, and why it's relevant for you, you know, listening to it right now. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. But also, verse 35, it says, of the same chapter and book, it says, then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God, their Redeemer. God, verse 36, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Now imagine flattering God, which means you speak one thing, and yet you actually mean a totally different thing. You don't mean the things that you say. So your heart actually, now this is, your heart is not set towards seeking the Lord. There is something that you want to see what the Lord has in store, but there is something elsewhere that you're still holding on to in case. So now these people, because of that kind of heart, made it extremely difficult for Moses throughout all the journey of the Egyptians. So they were always a thorn in the flesh of Moses, because they turned the hearts of the Hebrews against Moses and against God. And now there's something interesting, because there are two people who went with them who are mentioned only once, and not even in the Old Testament. They're actually mentioned only by Paul, two people called Jannes and Jambres, who Paul says were resisted Moses throughout. But now he's writing this in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Let's read there. You know this passage at least. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Now I want you to understand that what makes the times perilous is not what happens politically or all that. What makes the times perilous is how men respond, men's behavior. That's what makes the times difficult, the way men are. So there will come perilous times because men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Now, I want you to understand that Paul is writing to the church and saying these people have a form of godliness, but deny its power to change. Its power to change them. It says, from such people, turn away. Go ahead. For this sort are those that creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, laid out. I don't know why he insists on women, but anyway. Loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Always learning. Now here, this is what I want you to see. These people are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, don't take these words lightly. They learn, but they are never able. Not that it's difficult for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. No. They cannot come to the knowledge of the truth. Yet they actually hang out in church, and they are always learning, but they will never come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is what the scripture says. And then he goes on to say, now, as Jannes and Jambres, this is the only place where these names are mentioned, but I gleaned some of their stuff from Hebrew, some of their story from Hebrew, literature and so on, just to find out who they were, but they don't appear anywhere else in the Bible. They are not mentioned in the Old Testament. Just as, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, was also manifest. Now, who are Jannes and Jambres? They were two, actually, according to Hebrew, literature and so on, which I somehow managed to, anyhow. They were, when Moses appears before Pharaoh and is trying to do the miracles and, throws the stick and all that, one of the magicians who were countering him, two of the magicians who were countering him were Jannes and Jambres. And so they told Moses, when he threw down his stick, they told him, Moses, you mean you want to impress us with cheap magic in the land of magic? As in telling him that we Egyptians are experts at magic, and you bring for us these simple tricks like a stick becoming a serpent. So eventually, when they saw, of course we know what happened, they could only go up to three different things which Moses did, then afterwards it went beyond them. It was kind of beyond them. Now, what I've learned about people who actually walk in, who have experienced spiritual power or supernatural things, is that they can get converted when they see something powerful. But they don't always completely, their hearts are not always converted. They are just fascinated by a greater power. And because their lives have, now if you've lived your life in the natural all the time, these are things which, but anybody who has walked in the supernatural, there is a way, whether this side or the other side, there is a way natural things cease to have, like you can no longer be taken up by natural things because you've tested something which is higher, and somehow it seems to draw you, and seems to draw you more and more. So now these men, when Moses actually eventually showed them that his God can do things which they could not do, they said, because they were part of the half-half, they said, okay, we are going with Moses. So they actually went with him, and they went almost as converts, but not entirely converts, because they resisted his authority throughout. And actually, at some stage, they died when the ground opened up and swallowed people. They're one of those who died. And that's the time when actually Moses had some kind of respite from them. Now, there are different contradicting reports about them, but that's what I seem to get. But since it's not truth of scripture, you may or may not believe it. Anyhow, but so it's important to know that throughout people who are like that, there's also one person mentioned like that in the scriptures. You know him? You remember Simon the sorcerer? Same thing. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, if you read from verse 9, Simon the sorcerer, the whole city, the Bible says he did, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people. Actually, the magic was more like it. Astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Okay? To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Can you imagine? A sorcerer. Okay. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Of course, the reason they believed Philip is because he came and did greater miracles than the sorcerer. So that's why they believed him. Then Simon also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So he believed, but did he really believe? He's just, fascinated by what Philip is doing. So go ahead. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." But this is somebody who is supposed to have converted. But now Peter is saying, no, you have not converted. You're still a murogo, eh? So, it's right in the sight of God. But why did he convert? Because he was moving around with Philip, seeing wonderful miracles. Now, this is somebody who believes in the supernatural. So, when he sees supernatural things, is there. But his heart is not there. Now, that's how Jannes and Jambres were. Now, then he says, "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." In other words, Peter is saying, you did not really convert. "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." That doesn't sound like somebody who actually believed. But I was just trying to show you that Jannes and Jambres were two part of the mixed multitude who created trouble throughout Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit of the trouble they created so that we understand how this applies to us. Now, the mixed multitude stirred up Israel, are the ones who stirred up the Israelites to make the golden calf in Exodus 32. Now, Moses goes up to the hill to get the Ten Commandments. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 40 days. Then they say, Then the mixed multitude turn up to the people and say, "Listen, make us gods, that we may this, because as for this Moses, we don't know what became of him. He went up there and he vanished. So we don't know what became of him." So now they put pressure on Aaron, who was also a weak person. It has to be said, they put pressure on him, and Aaron tells them, "Bring your earrings," and the whole people turn around and they make a golden calf. Now, it's important to know that when they make the golden calf in Exodus chapter 2, this mixed multitude, because they have never really believed in Yahweh, they have never really been taken in by the Hebrew God, they say, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." They do not say, "This is our God," because they have their own God somewhere. They are just trying to see how far this God can take these people. They said, "This is your God who brought," and they never once addressed him as our God, as if they are part of Israel. They said, "This is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." So, now the interesting thing is this, which is what is important for this today's study. They did not... Thank you for putting up that scripture. Okay. "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt," not brought us. Okay? Because for them, I don't even think they have left, at least not with their hearts. Anyhow, now the important thing is this. They did not remove Israel away from the worship of Jehovah. Okay? When they introduced the golden calf, they did not. But what they did was they mixed things up. They managed to corrupt that worship of Jehovah. Now, there's something I'm trying to create here. Now, Exodus just verse 6 says in that same thing. So now, after they had introduced the golden calf and worshipped it, now the worship of the golden calf involved sexual orgies and things like that, which the Bible calls play. So after they had done all of that, they went to sleep. Then they rose early on the next day, then offered burnt sacrifices and brought peace sacrifices, peace offerings to God, to Jehovah. In other words, "These are the laws you gave us. We are going to do them. But we also have other things to do." So are you familiar with that? So somebody wakes up in the morning and goes to church and says that he's sorted. But then somewhere he has other things to do. Now, they rose early on in the morning, but offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Play means to go ahead with their orgies. Now, Paul actually quotes this scripture. Now, the interesting thing is that this mixed multitude don't even want to take the children of Israel away from the worship of God. They just want to get their worship of God and corrupt it, okay? And twist it and turn it around and then kind of give them the impression that they can be here and there. Because if the devil can do that, now here is the thing. The devil is beaten thoroughly in letting the children of Israel go. You know that. So he's beaten thoroughly. Egypt, which was the headquarters of the devil, somehow has to let Israel go. But the devil, Tavida Mwao. So what he does is he sends some people to confuse. And that's really what happened. What happens all the time, including now, including very much in the New Testament, where there is something good happening, but there will always be some people who come, some mixed multitude, who come and speak a certain language, but their idea is to corrupt what is going on. Not to change what you're doing. No. They know they will not manage to do that. They don't even want to do it. But they want to get it and corrupt it. You understand? Now, what does God tell Moses when he's up in the hill? Okay. The next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Now, this is the idea of the mixed multitude, and which is going to be one of the main things in the latter day church today, which is why the Lord wants me to speak about it today. An idea of something which is nice being corrupted, and then it starts giving off mixed signals. You understand? Now, every nice thing which we once knew and now somehow failed is because it was at some stage corrupted. And then, it starts giving off what? Mixed signals. Okay? Now, remember when I told you last time about how every ministry has a spirit? And so now, you have, and by a spirit I mean, you know, for those who are not there, by a spirit I don't mean either the devil or the Holy Spirit, you understand? Eh? Something which that ministry propagates. For instance, there are ministries which have the spirit of, I'll give you an example, like marriage. Now, they're like churches where there is a wedding every 2 weeks. You go there when you're not dating, within 1 month you'll be dating, and within 6 months you'll be married. Now, and it is there, and the spirit is there, because, and it's of God, and it's that the church has that spirit, that grace, you understand? Eh? Then there are those who don't. If you go there when you have a boyfriend, he will chuck you within 2 weeks. Now, then there are those which have the spirit, let's say, of prosperity. You go there when you're jobless, when you're what, when you're somehow, you get infected by the spirit there, and you find, you know, it easier to develop in the area of money, and so on and so forth. So every ministry has a spirit, okay? Now, and if you identify the spirit, if you knew how to identify it, then you connect with it so easily. And then you actually benefit. And then you know, what am I coming for in this place? You understand? I'll give you an example of a ministry which most of you know. For instance, Prophet Elvis and the Zoe ministry has the spirit to usher people into the supernatural. In every area, okay? Supernatural everything, you understand? That is the spirit of that ministry. Now, if you go there with a pen and a pencil to write down things, you might miss out a lot because that would be good for another place, not necessarily for there. There, you're there to be ushered into something supernatural, something beyond the natural, okay? I'll give you an example. The other day, he went and said, "Miracle money." Immediately after, before even I reached my car, I was already receiving miracle money. I received miracle money on my phone from people whom I don't know. And would not even a number. This is where somebody goes to, eh? And I received it over, like for 2 weeks, it was coming every day. I will not tell you how much, because you'll be jealous. So what I had to do was just keep on withdrawing so that it does not exceed the limit. So now, when you go to such a place, you only have to open your heart and the thing is yours. You understand? Eh? And it is just there. It's being dished out. But now some people, because they don't understand, you go to Javas and ask for Mulokonyi. That is not the spirit of Javas. If you want Mulokonyi, go to another restaurant and they will serve you Mulokonyi. You understand? So now, because the children of God don't understand certain simple things which you are supposed to know, then you go looking for something which is not there, which is good, but it's not there. And then you miss something good which is there. You understand? Like miracle, supernatural, finance. Glory to God. There is natural, but then there is supernatural. Where, who is sending me all this money? And then the next thing you phone, what? You've received. Then you go, you just started your cup of coffee, you've received. Then I had to send somebody, go and withdraw before more comes and takes. So anyhow, now, so the purpose of God is to get a specific anointing and put it in somebody and in a ministry, and it goes and serves that out to, you know, to people, just like a restaurant, where this one serves this, this one serves the other. Perhaps you need all of them, but you can't go to the wrong place to ask for something different. But then you go to, but now what the devil does is to get that spirit and corrupt it, mixed multitude, and corrupt it if he can. Now that is his purpose, to corrupt it. For instance, you find, I'll give you an example, because I've told you before, I've been in churches for 20-something years. You find somebody who has an authentic prosperity ministry. Authentic, very real. And I'm talking about people whom I know. Very authentic, very real. People are, you know, prospering and what? Then the next thing you know, the man is into homosexuality. And it has been corrupted. Now, you can no longer go there because it's sending mixed signals. If you go looking for prosperity, you might find something else. You understand? Now, does the prosperity go away? It doesn't necessarily totally go away, but it's totally corrupted. Now, elsewhere, you'll find somebody who is preaching a very good gospel. That's like somebody preaching end time. Like, then he comes and infects it with the spirit of poverty. So you say, but that guy preaches end time so well, but when you put money there, you don't get a return. He has infected it. He has corrupted the mixed multitude. He has twisted the thing. So you preach your end time. Okay, I will not change that. But I'm going to twist it and turn it around and make it into something different. I'm giving you an example. Of course, that is not true here. Because for us here, we receive miracle money. but you understand now. Now, so many of the places, there is a ministry starts well, it goes well, but because people don't watch out for these things, the devil comes and somehow finds a way to corrupt. So you wake up in the morning and offer your sacrifices and what? And then in the afternoon, you go and play. You understand? So you're here and there. You're both ways. So when people come, they don't receive a completely positive thing. They receive, you know, water which is half clean, half dirty, which is ventured actually is dirty. Now this, they rose up in the morning to play. Paul actually quotes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now he actually quotes it extensively and he mentions so many things. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. Okay? But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, you lust after something and it corrupts your, you know. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to what? to play. Play actually meant sexual orgies. No, let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them fell. No, let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Now these are different periods of rebellion. No, complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That is, upon whom, for those people who are living in the end time, okay? Upon whom all the ends of the ages have come. Okay, go ahead. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen? So everybody is going to be tempted. But if the temptation comes to you, just know that God has examined you and seen that you have the ability to overcome. So if you don't overcome, you failed an exam, you are supposed to have passed. Amen? God does not set exams for people to fail. He actually sets exams to set you up for a testimony. So when he knows that you can do this, he creates a scenario where you will do it, and then it becomes a testimony. Amen? It's all a setup. It's all a setup to encourage you and put you in a position where you're always testifying, you understand? Now, there are four things actually, different rebellions, which Paul mentions here, which we are going to go through very fast. The one of sexual immorality, when they rose up and, you know, offered their burnt offerings and sorted Jehovah, now we finished your things, now let's go and what? And have a blast. Eh? 23,000 of them fail. That's in Exodus 32. Then there is the rebellion of Korah, which is in Numbers. Okay? Now, in the rebellion of Korah, a man called Korah, and then two people, Dathan and Ahiram, and 250. Now, of course, when the children of Israel went and spied out the land, and then they came back with, these guys gave them a negative report, and then God was angry with them, and he told them now, they were at the entry of the promised land. He told them, now turn back and go back into the wilderness. All of you above 20 are going to die. So now, of course, some of them went presumptuously and they were beaten up thoroughly, so they came back. So now there was a lot of discouragement and the 10 spies died right there before the Lord, who had given a negative report. Only Joshua and Caleb remained. Now there was a lot of discouragement among the children of Israel. Now after that, when they are now turning away from the promised land, going this side, of course, the mixed multitude, of course, stirring people up. Guess what they do? 250 of the leaders, plus Korah and Dathan and Abiram, come to Moses and say, are you going to make yourself a prince over us? Who made you rule over us that you should come and boss over us and all those things? So, to cut a long story short, Moses stood up and said, okay, now today God is going to show who is on his side and who isn't. So the earth split, and all those men with their families went inside, and the earth covered over them. You know where that takes them? To the bosom of hell, because hell is inside the earth. You understand? Eh? Hell is actually inside the earth. I was actually reading a report of a man who went doing the diving somewhere, you know this, yeah, and went very deep. Now this is he actually wrote it in a book. But he went around where there are portals to the entrance of hell, which are known, okay, and they're actually on grids like this. And one of them is the Bermuda Triangle, which you've heard about, where so many people have died, where ships can't pass. Now, of course, science has its explanations of why electromagnetic, crap. Eh? But all ships have to pass around the place. Very dangerous. Now, these guys go there, and the guy dives inside. And now he was moving with a pastor who was also part of the expedition. So the man comes out and says, I'm not going back there, no matter what. He actually sounds traumatized. So they tell him what's there. He said, I'm not going back there. So later on, he told them that he could hear voices of people screaming and he could hear like chains being pulled. Now, how many people know you don't hear in the water? When you're in the water, you don't hear. But the guy said he heard like chains being pulled and what, you know, but you know, Philippians 2 says that of all the knees in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Beneath the earth is where Hades. Now, where the angels that sinned against God are tied in dark, in chains, awaiting their day of judgment. Not the ones who fell with Lucifer, who are still around here until also their time comes. Those ones are in the second heaven, causing havoc. Yeah? But the other ones who came and took on the nature of men, those ones were taken down there and are reserved in everlasting chains, the Bible says. Now it's down there. So these people, the earth opens, closes. And the Bible says the rest of the children of Israel took off, saying, lest the earth does what? Swallows us also. So do you think they learned their lesson? No, they didn't. Actually, a short while later, they stood up against Moses again and said, you're actually the one who caused the people of God to die. Now, how does somebody get to that? Because now their hearts have been shifted completely away from Jehovah by this mixed multitude thing, which is, it starts slowly as you're trying to juggle two balls. You're here and there. Then eventually, your heart actually goes after the evil thing. Anyhow, so the next one, which is also spoken of there is the rebellion of Korah. The ground split open. Then eventually, you know, Aaron's rod budded. But at the end of all that drama, 14,700 people died. Then in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, there is another one. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Okay? So he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now, the mixed multitude were among them, yielded to intense craving. Now, this is demonic craving. Intense craving. So the children of Israel also, now this is the mixed multitude. They, remember they had something good in Egypt. Now the children of Israel who they are trying to say, we go back to Egypt, we are slaves in Egypt, okay? But somehow they forget that. So they wept again, the intense craving. Imagine they have just had the fire, it was quenched because they cried to Moses. Now they wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers. Who would cry for cucumbers? Very tasteless, whatever. The melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Who cries for garlic? But now, our whole being is being dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. And guess what happened? Another plague came, and more of them fell. Did that end it? No. Numbers 21, verse 4, again. Now, how can somebody get to this hardness of heart that nothing, like there's nothing that can be done that can change you. You're stuck in something and you're, oh no. Numbers, then they journeyed from the mount by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And our soul loathes this wilderness bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And was that the last? No. Anyhow, but that's the last I'm going to give you. So, why is all this relevant right now? By the way, when the people complained, Moses also went and complained to God and said, what did I do to you? That you give me these people whom I did not give birth to. And they have become a burden to me. And by then he was very bitter with God. He said, now if I have found favor in your eyes, just kill me. Because these guys have become a stress. Now I know, don't play with mixed multitude. Eh? Because they actually come And I've seen ministries which are under the workings of a mixed multitude, where people come and cause a split, and the pastor is trying to, you know, put get people together, but somehow there is a division which is so intense, and actually it wears out the man of God, and is what is wrong, and it's a spiritual demonic thing. Eh? Amen? But I'm going to tell you what happens to a mixed multitude people later. So in the end times, one of the biggest things is going to be this corruption. Just wait and see. Wait and see. Now, if any of you is called into ministry, when you get into something and you're starting doing something of the Lord, be careful. Because like something presents itself as innocuous, simple, something you can get away with, but then it corrupts. And the corruption, you don't know where it is going to go after that. I'm going to tell you the key corruptors. They're actually in the New Testament written. Can you believe 4 different New Testament authors wrote about this thing? 4 different ones wrote about this thing. We are going to read those scriptures in the New Testament. Okay? We'll start with, we read the one of Paul. Okay? Ever learning and never, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But remember, he's saying they come and be among you. They don't want to do their confusion outside. Now, you see, that's the thing. Eh? Like, when the devil gets these people and puts them in there, when the devil gets into Judas Iscariot, he doesn't tell him to leave Jesus. No. He's best when he's next to Jesus. That's where he wants him. You understand? Eh? But he's there, but he's not there. So, these people, when they are corrupted by some, they don't ever leave the church. They stay there, and they do all their mess there. And actually, they lead so many people. Now, according to the scripture, it says many are led astray. Many. Many are led astray. Now, how many people? Like, I know many. Many who are led astray. And, but the good thing is, okay, let's read some of the scriptures. 2 Peter, the first one to talk about it. Chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Now, we're really going to read scripture. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Okay? The Bible talks of false prophets, false teachers, and false apostles. Okay? So they are false. Eh? Even false pastors. Eh? So don't let anybody make you think he talks about false prophets. Eh? Even teachers, apostles, and... Okay, the only people I don't know are false evangelists. Eh? Okay. Anyhow, false prophets are among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Heresies are doctrines that are not right. Eh? Now, it's important to understand that the wrongness of the doctrine depends on the maturity of the church. It usually starts with something so small, and then it changes slowly by slowly by slowly until people who started off with what you would say, it's not a big issue. It eventually becomes a big issue and becomes heresy, whereas it started as just error, you know? So they bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, okay? And many will follow their destructive ways. How many? How many? How many? Just note that. Not few, many. We'll follow their destruction. We are talking about end times. Many. Okay. Because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Now, I want you to understand, to listen to all this terminology. The key thing is words. Eh? With deceptive words, for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment down there, the ones I've just told you about, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, first keep it there. Now, here is the thing. The people who have let themselves be corrupted and are doing things deliberately out of error, knowing that they are in error. I'll give you an example. There's a friend of mine who told me last Friday that they came and told him, you want some money for rent and what? Okay. So you don't have money for rent. Good. So come and testify what the Lord has done for you at one of those revivals. Eh? And they give him a whole script full of lies. If you say all these things, we'll give you money for rent. And now, there are so many people who are looking for God who will be drawn in by those things. But you see, God, because he knows people's hearts, even those who are drawn there by deceit, he will find a way of, you understand? Eh? Because, by the way, there are people who have been healed from there, and there are so many, but it is God who does it, because he sees the heart and he sees the faith. Now, whatever is happening at the top is none of this person's business. For him, he just saw things. He doesn't know that even the testimonies which brought him there to receive healing, some of them were lies, because somebody wanted rent. But he came believing God, not believing anybody else, and somehow God heals him or her. You understand? Eh? Because God deals with people individual merit. So he knows that, okay, this whole thing is fake, eh? But this person came seeking for me. And so it says that he delivers the godly out of temptation, out of those lies. And somehow God will protect them because their hearts are right. And they are seeking after God. And nobody seeks God and finds, you know, because somehow he takes care of you. Eh? So he will get them, maybe even get them slowly out of there. Maybe even they stay there somehow, but somehow they are covered from all the lies and all the fakeness. Eh? And they somehow sailed through an heart. Eh? But then it says, but those who are involved in this thing, he reserves them under punishment, waiting for the day of judgment. Now, there is a punishment for people who once served God and live even before they get to any punishment outside of here. The first punishment is, you know, when you've tested something good, and then you know that now you're fake. Eh? It's like the story of Gehazi. Gehazi appears before the king of Israel, and the king asks him, tell me about the miracles that Elisha did. So now Gehazi is telling him, you know, Elisha did this, Elisha did that, Elisha did this. But you see, he's there with his leprosy. And he knows if he had not allowed himself to be corrupted, he was supposed to get Elisha's anointing. Now, there is no worse punishment than that, by the way. Because there is that sense of knowing, I was supposed to be this, but I am not that. You understand? Eh? And you know it. The thing is, you know it. Every time you see somebody, and now God will get somebody else and push them and make them. Now, I'll give you an example. God called me to teach about the end times. Now, imagine I let myself be corrupted. Then I get into something else. Perhaps I get, you know, Then the next day I turn and I find somebody preaching end times. And he's converting. I will be so miserable. Eh? Like where I sit, because you'll get somebody else and say, okay, you'll get somebody else, and somehow you'll come in touch with that person and look and say, I should have been there. And now that is, you're being kept in punishment, awaiting judgment. Now, there are people who don't know what they are called to do. Those ones are not being punished. But when you call it and you abandon it, the fact that you know what you could have been and what you are not torments you every day. And there is nothing worse than that, by the way. It is an absolute torment. Now, you know, you reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. Now, there are key things here which we are going to talk about, which are the corruptors. Eh? Despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Okay? Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. Can you imagine comparing somebody to beasts which are supposed to be caught and destroyed? Like somebody who was once a servant of God is now being compared to a natural brute beast whose work, you know, like, have you ever, you're driving, let's say, up country, and then you see these fussels carrying cows, eh? When they have tied their what? And you know where they are taking them, eh? But you know that is their destiny. Because every cow which is born, it's destiny. That is its destiny, eh? To end up there and then end up on your plate. So now he is comparing them to natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. And they speak evil of things they do not understand. Now, these are things which you have to take note of. Eh? Don't just read the script. Because one of the key things that people have stopped learning is when they criticize everything they don't understand. Now, that is a clear example that they reached their end, cut off. Because how else are you going to learn new things? Okay? Because we are permanent students, even when you go to heaven, anyhow. Speak evil of the things. Somebody was, I was reading a book by Rick Joyner. He said he was in heaven and Paul was there discussing his own letters, discussing scripture. He's still learning from his own epistles. So there he's cheating, but with other saints, discussing, because there's every word of God is eternal. It does not end when you die. Eh? Everything about God is eternal, especially heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. So even in heaven, those are the words we'll be discussing. Eh? These same words that we're talking about now. Amen? So now imagine somebody, anything you do not understand, you speak evil of it. Then you've stopped learning. Because how else are you going to learn something? Anyhow, let's go on. And will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, I want you to understand, he's talking about people who were once ministers of God. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, not away from you. The devil doesn't want them away from you. He wants them with you, feasting, doing things which are going to somehow corrupt people who are still pursuing God. So they will come and do all these things amidst, enticing, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease. Now this is important. Now imagine, it says, having eyes full of adultery and find it hard to cease from sin. Is that what it says? It says they cannot cease from sin. Now they are like those people where their hearts have been turned in a certain way, that even when the ground opens and swallows people, it only takes 1 week and you stand up against Moses again and say, to walk over. Like 1 week after the ground opened. Now, and yet when it opened, and actually the Bible dramatizes, when they saw the ground opening, they take off. But 1 week later, they are emboldened again and they come to Moses and say, who made you our prince that you should be? Again, then something else happens, then they come back. Now it says here that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices. Now, a heart trained in covetous practices. And are accursed children, who were once children of God. Okay? They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. So now you see, comparing somebody who was once a prophet, but now you're moving on a donkey, and a donkey can see in the spiritual realm, and a prophet can't. Now that's a picture of somebody who has fallen from grace. Like you're a prophet, and a donkey which you're riding on can see an angel standing ahead, but for you can't. Okay. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Now he's talking about those people. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. For whom is reserved, now listen to this, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now let me tell you, remember the scripture when Jesus said that many will come and say, we cast out demons in your name, we healed sick in your name, and you say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. That scripture has to come to pass. And those people were not lying that they did cast out demons. They cast them out, and they preached the gospel in his name, but then they are. So that scripture has to come to pass. Amen? Yeah, just make sure it doesn't involve you. But it has to come to pass. There will be some people. Now, and he says, actually, from this script, he actually alludes to the fact that their punishment is going to be worse than people who never received the gospel at all, or who have never known the Lord at all. Because he says, for them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Go ahead. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, you know, they are speaking, you know, orators, eh? And they come and speak flamboyant things, and they are dressed so smartly like me, and for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, eh? You know, now, great swelling words, eh? You know, puffery. In advertising, there is something which they call puffery. Puffery is the act of promising people things which you cannot do in advertising. Eh? For instance, we have internet that moves at the speed of light. Then it takes you 5 minutes to just open your email. But the advert told you it moves at the speed of what? How many of you know all those things? Eh? Every Ugandan knows it. Where it's just pure lies. Eh? Now, that is it. Eh? Now, that's the picture pointed there of puffery, where somebody speaks powerful things, eh? But which are not there. So they have somebody once read who is giving testimonies which are not there. Then he has a lame person who walked in New York and another one, great swelling words of emptiness. Like, and when they stand, I remember way back in the mid-1990s, we hosted a guy. There was a guy who came here, and we actually were young, you know, young in the Lord, zealous and what. So here there is this guy who came from, you know, from Texas, Dallas. Now, so he comes, this preacher from, you know, in those days that was big. Eh? Somebody has come from Dallas. Eh? Yeah, I mean, that's powerful. Somehow America seemed to, eh? I mean, we have seen things. There's a time even when people would hire like a convoy, eh? A motorcade, when they are coming from America, eh? That your pastor has come from America. Eh? The guy has a motorcade. Eh? So we've come from so far. Eh? So these guys, of course, now if you did that crap, I mean, really, we're talking about, there are few people who witnessed those things here. Anyhow, so this guy come, you know, so he goes, I went with him to Mbarara, eh, to preach the gospel. So he has an accent, but the accent, like, he's on and off, eh, he's like umeme. He's like umeme power. 1 minute he's American, the next minute, the guy is real African. Eh? So I was wondering, this guy who's a old man, eh? You know what we call, he had an accent attack. Eh? Somebody has been talking well, then suddenly, man, eh, the accent changes. Eh? Then we say he had an accent attack. So this guy called John, I won't mention the other name, but okay, it wasn't even his name, eh? But it was some American name. Eh? So, the guy goes, now, man, that guy could speak. Like, I have never seen a better public speaker than that gentleman. Like, he could keep the whole congregation spellbound, you know, with stories. Eh? And, you know, tell them all this, how he went to this university and what, then they decided to make him the rector or what. Then, you know, man, eh? And he was like a short guy like this. Eh? Very short guy and used to put on, you know, trousers which didn't go down like, a, you know, like a tablique. Eh? So he actually looked much shorter than he actually was. Eh? So, but you know all that, eh? There's something about him didn't look American. Eh? But when he stood on the pulpit, eh? You forgot everything. Eh? Man, John, okay, the guy could speak. Eh? Like, I've never, he knew how to make people stand, sit, carry chairs. Like, he could make people do whatever he wanted to do, eh? Like, by the way, he was a great orator. Eh? Like, even listening to him, even when he knew he was lying, was a good experience. Eh? And like, and so we knew he was lying. Eh? Later, we got to know that he was lying, eh? But still, he would listen because, man, eh? Now then you leave somebody who is speaking the truth because he can't talk. Eh? Now, this guy had great swearing words of empty. Of course, he's talking rubbish. Eh? Like, it doesn't build you. It's empty. Peter compares it to clouds without what? Rain. Eh? When it's very hot, you want rain, then clouds are passing, but they are white. They have no promise of rain. Eh? Okay. Great swearing words of emptiness. Eh? They allure through the lusts of the flesh. Later on, by the way, we found out. Now, here is what happened. The guy got very sick. He got malaria. And he became very sick, extremely sick. Until now, they told him, actually he was on the point of death, but they told him that, now you have to tell us who your next of kin is, who your relatives are, because in case of anything, where do we put you? So the guy turned out to be called Fred from Kisumu. He had never even stepped in America, much less being from there. But he was a good orator. Great swearing words of emptiness. So they eventually took him to Kisumu, not Dallas, Texas. Okay. Through the lusts of the flesh, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who had actually escaped from those who live in error. Now, that means people had escaped error and come to the church. Now, these people get them and take them right back. And now there is nothing, by the way, let me tell you, there is nothing as bad as somebody who comes with this excitement of coming to church, you know, amazing grace, how sweet that thou art, that saved a wretch like me. Then he comes and finds people who are supposed to be men of God. And man, like there is a way that thing like puts, like discourages that person. Like it is very difficult for them to ever trust anything again. They would rather get it from a fellow believer. But imagine, okay, it's, anyway, you've understood what I'm saying. So they allure through the lust of the flesh and through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from error. Okay? And then they get them entangled again. Go ahead. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Imagine coming to a, you know, and you're being promised liberty. And the person who is promising you liberty is himself or herself a slave of what? Of corruption. And I've met people who have run into things like that. And man, they are very difficult to get through to. Very difficult to get through to. People who came to church with all this excitement, and then they land on a man of God, and they say, ah, ah, ah. Now getting, by the way, it takes the grace of God, because they are like, ah, man, anyhow, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also is brought into bondage. Now I want you to know this is talking about church, okay? For if after they escaped the pollutions of the world, now this is talking now about the ministers. If after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now what Peter is saying, that their judgment is going to be harsher than those who have never known the way. You understand? This is New Testament, not Leviticus and whatever. Okay, now Peter is actually saying it would have been better for them to have never known. Because, you know, there is grades even in hell, you know that. Not everybody gets the same punishment in hell. Actually, there are parts of hell that don't even have fire. So not everybody is swimming in the lake of fire. But then, here it says, for these people, reserved the blackness of darkness, blackest of darkness. That is scary. Verse 22. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. The last verse in this. But I, beloved, I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stab, by a pure man's, by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken. Okay, I think we've come to the end of that particular where I wanted us to get to. Now you see how Peter, okay, verse 21. You see what Peter talks about it. Now also, John talks about it. We're about to finish, by the way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. He's talking about what? antichrists. Eh? Antichrists have what? Who have come? Okay. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were from us. In other words, the people he's calling Antichrist were people who were once with us, who were once with John. Okay? And he's saying they were part of us. And they went out. Now he's calling them Antichrist. And he says, by this you know. Now those are harsh words, you understand. Eh? People who were once here, now they are being called Antichrist. Okay? So let's also go to Jude. Now Jude is interesting because he actually, verse 3, you start from verse 3, he uses the same language as Peter. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, the mixed multitude, okay? Have crept in unnoticed. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation? Can you imagine? Marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny our only Lord and our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now he's going back to the same examples, which were, they say, examples for us, which also Peter gave. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in the similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers, now we are back to our people, defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Peter actually spoke all these things. Now, one of the things that marks these people is that what shows that somebody's heart is for God is the way they treat people of God. You understand? When somebody does not know that somebody is above you, like, they are dignitaries in the kingdom of God. You understand? They are people who, whether you like it or not, they are dignitaries in the kingdom of God. How do you tell a law-abiding citizen? From the way they behave when they meet dignitaries. Okay? National dignitaries, for instance. Now, if you see the convoy of the president and you refuse to get out of the way, it shows you're not a law-abiding citizen because he's a dignitary, whether you agree with it or not. Okay? Now, likewise, in the kingdom, there are people who are dignitaries. Like Moses, you speak against him, the wrath of God comes. And the ground opens. And he actually is the one who told them, now today you are going to see. If the ground does not open, and what? And the Bible says, as soon as he finished speaking, the ground opened. And they are speaking evil of a dignitary. Now, those are things which you have to understand. Now, when people's heart is for God, one of the things they do is they don't despise the authority of God. There is something about, and now that's how you can tell the heart is for God. Like, they don't despise these dignitaries. They even, people like your pastor and what, eh? You have a reverence for them, a respect for them, because they are over you, you know, in the spirit. Eh? Now, when you start treating people of God like rubbish, eh? Then it shows your heart has never really gone after, you know. So you cannot say you respect God and you despise the men of God. Anyhow, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring an accusation, bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Go ahead. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. Remember, Peter said that also. Whatever they don't know, they speak evil of. And whatever they know, naturally, like brute beasts again, in these things, they corrupt themselves, okay? By speaking evil, by what? Now the things, okay, let's go ahead. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the era of Balaam. Again, Balaam is mentioned as the godfather of people who are like this. Balaam, the son of Boaz. And I'll tell you why shortly. For the prophet, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. The rebellion I've just told you about, where the ground splits. Okay. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear. Serving only who? There it says self-willed, covetous, self-willed. The only thing they care about is themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Let autumn trees, you know, in autumn the trees drop their leaves. Eh? So let autumn trees, which are about to drop their leaves, without fruit, twice dead, but they are there. But the scripture says they are twice what? But they are there speaking powerful words. Eh? Okay? Pulled up from the roots. Now, here is the thing. There it says they cannot get to the knowledge of the truth. Then they say they cannot. Now it says they have been pulled up from the roots. So, it's different when something is still in the roots, needs watering, and it can come back. Eh? But now there are plants which are there, but they have been pulled up from the roots. Now, that means, end of story. They are dead. Okay. Raging waves of the sea, forming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Same words, okay? Spoken by Peter, spoken by Jude. Blackness of darkness forever. Okay, let's go ahead. Just read a few more scriptures here. Now, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Eh? Okay. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. Now here is the definition. Eh? Grumblers. These are the things which cause the children of Israel to grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They mouth great swearing words. Two different people using the same terminologies, flattering people to gain advantage. Have you ever seen that? People flattering people to get money. Oh man, I've experienced that so much. I remember I was in some church. Actually, I think I wrote this in my book, and some guy came to preach the gospel, eh? And he was preaching about giving your Isaac. Now, man, this guy was a smooth operator. You know those guys who, like, he could speak. He knew when to use different tones. Eh? And somehow he catches all of you. He keeps you all in suspense and terror. Eh? Like, awaiting his next word. Eh? Man, I wish I could speak like that. By the way, those are gifts I wish I had. Man, the guy could speak. So, came and said giving. Now he went talked about the sacrifice of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. 120,000 cows were slaughtered. So the guy says, now imagine. Imagine 1,000 cows. You just imagine a field of 1,000 cows. So, of course, we imagine. Because when somebody speaks in that tone, he doesn't give you a choice. Eh? You have to imagine. Then he says that, do you see it? Do you see the 1,000? Do you see the 1,000 cows? And man, eh? I'm not so sure I've ever seen 1,000 cows in real life. But then I was seeing it eh? In the spirit. Eh? Then he said, now imagine 10,000 cows. Oh, man. Then he said, now, imagine 120,000. That was the sacrifice of Solomon. And then some of you are just holding on to your car. But at the end of the day, people had given cars, what man? By the time he got to what the how many thousand ships, which were also slaughtered on the same day, man, the entirety of our bank accounts looked like the widow's 2 cents. Eh? So he just said, now if somebody, 120,000, eh? If you have your 10 million on the account, it looks like the widow's 2 mites. So he just said, yeah. But the guy, of course, was what? Was a mufiri. It was a great swearing words, eh? of emptiness, flattering people. Now, do you know what happened after that? After he had preached that, now, of course, I was wiser. I knew. So as soon as he started that thing, I actually got my Bible and started reading scriptures. And I completely shut off from what he was saying. And I'm an expert at shutting off. I learned it when I used to move in taxis. Because people are talking garbage, and you want to think about other things. So I shut off. I learned out. There was a time I was having coffee somewhere, imagine, at Serena. Then a man and a woman came, and who must have been like married, but they have had very serious disputes because the woman was accusing the man of so many things and speaking very loudly. And I was seated next to them. I did not hear a word. Like, I heard the first few sentences. Did the other time you lied to me, what? I said, okay, this is none of my business. So I closed myself out. And I'm an expert. I will close myself out. And you will talk here very loudly, and I will not hear. Once I decide it's not for my consumption, I don't hear. So they talked. Now they wait until I even saw the waiters and waitresses coming. And they were trying to eavesdrop on the couples, eavesdrop. The conversation, and I'm saying, it's not okay. Now, so I shut this man off. Now, after the thing, he said, now, how many people have something to give? Who want to give your Isaac? And the man, you could tell he has preached this message over and over again, because the words came rolled off his tongue so smoothly. He looked like a CNN anchor. Like, you know, no, even no brief moment to think. So the guy says that, what? How many of you have your Isaac to give? Some people are even in tears. Now me, I was thoroughly bored. Like, I have never been so bored in my life. Now what he did, he gave the mic to people who are giving. So you come, you make a line. Go, how much are you giving? So now, you know, you know the way ego works. Now, if I ask you how much are you giving, and you say 100,000, then people clap. Now, when I come to him, he can't say 10,000. Those are tricks people use in wedding meetings. Now, this one will say, the other gave 100. So you say, I'm not going to spoil the party. So you say 200. Then, wow, Bugaro. Then you. By the time you reach the other side, people had given their cars and man. Okay, and it was rubbish. Great swearing words of emptiness. Great swearing words. Now I'm told even came back and fought with the pastor afterwards. That where are my things, which people gave. But how? Okay. Flattering. Now you know that's flattery of telling people aloud where nobody tells you to give silently. Give in public so that people see. Like wedding meetings. Joseph Kableta, the watchman, has given 10,000. Then the guy stand and look at you and say, So because you're not going to swallow, you end up giving money which you don't want to give. And now, of course, they do it on purpose, to read. Then say clap. Then they turn and say, then after reading your 10K, then they say, Victor Warusimbi, 1 million. Then, then the guy is sitting next to you, and man, you feel bad. But it's all playing on people's egos, which is okay for wedding meetings, if you want to. But you cannot do that in church. Because anything that applies to ego, to make people give, is not sowing. You will not receive your reward. Jesus said if you do it for any benefit, any reason apart from believing God for an increase, you already have your reward. So if you did it for Obugaro, that's your reward. Don't expect any other. You understand? That's all the reward you... Anyhow, let's move on. Okay. Flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we're supposed to go, okay? How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their ungodly lust. So we'll stop there, and I will tell you some of the key things. First of all, grumbling, that one you know. Despisers of authority, that one we've spoken about. Arrogant, but grumbling. Let me tell you, children of God. The first Okay, when you're young and you're childish, you've just come to the Lord. Somehow people grumble, you know, God, how can... And then you can see a level of spiritual immaturity. Like somebody came to me and, you know, issues, and, you know, saying this is this. And you can see that they are young, and so you pray with them, and they are more or less grumbling. And at their level, it's okay. But then when you become mature, God expects you to get out of that rubbish and mature and walk in maturity, which means thankfulness and what, and bless the Lord. Because grumbling actually has a very slippery downward trend. Anyhow, despisers of authority. Oh man, despisers of authority. Okay, that means arrogant, self-willed, speak evil of dignitaries. We've read this before. Speak evil of things they don't understand. But the third one is, the one characteristic of them is their sensual. It is all about their pleasure, about carousing. You know, it's all about what is good for them, about what is good for, you know, their comfort and what. They actually mock at the idea of judgment hereafter. When you tell them that a day of reckoning is coming, they mock at that idea. Because somehow the devil has gotten them to think that it ends here. I don't know how even somebody can think that it ends here. And, like, where you do everything to be, like, to get, be rich and well, and you don't understand that it's, in a few years from now, it's all going to wind up. And you'll have eternity, the whole of eternity, where you'll not be able to change anything, but you can change it now. And by changing, I don't even mean going to heaven or hell. I mean even determining your reward. You understand? So, but you see, there, you meet people, and Paul says that, I've met people whose God is their bed, yeah? And he says, he looks at them weeping. Because they behave as if there is no hereafter. There's, like when you tell them there is a sense of... Have you ever seen those students who go to campus and they behave as if there is not going to be any exams? They are in club from beginning to end of... I mean, you understand, eh? Like, there has to be a point where you say, okay, exams are coming, eh? Now let me start behaving in a, you know, in a student-like way. Anyhow, so they are sensual, they are... they live for the here and now. They scoff at an idea of future judgment. And of course, sensuality includes sexual immorality and all these things. Now, I don't want to go into details of this, eh? But there's a certain kind of which is has exceeded the level of weakness and has gone to a level of entitlement. That thing. It's different when somebody, sees somebody and they are ministered to, and perhaps they fall into something, you understand? Eh? Weakness, that's different. But then, there's a difference when it becomes a sense of entitlement. Eh? And actually, even in some cases, a way of earning money. Now, I'm telling you, some guy came to me some time ago. He came, Imperial Royal. I know he's called to have a powerful ministry. But he got corrupted. Because when things became tight financially, he discovered a way of getting money. They would go and get, fairly advanced in age ladies and promise them marriage and what, and then they cooler them and so on. Eh? So, it became an art form. Eh? He knew how to do it. Eh? And I don't know how people master those things, eh? But like he really mastered the art of doing it. So now I think he had a moment of reckoning at some stage, because the people who drew him there into that thing, and by the way, it's also important to know that he started out just like that, but eventually the people whom he was trying to cooler or to get money from, for the benefit of those who are listening on Mixer who don't understand, you got people whom he was trying to get money from became wiser. So he needed something extra to make them open their passes. He ended up in witchcraft. Now, he's called of the Lord. So now, the people who called him there, one of them was shot, dead, at the entrance, I think, of a major hotel. I think they had over messed up some person who was connected, but they came and shot at the car in which they were moving, and this guy was shaken, and, you know, came to Watchman. I've known him for, so he came to the Watchman. So he was trying to start a ministry, so he came to ask me, how do you manage these bills? Which is a very legitimate question. You understand? Eh? Because one of the things ministers do not know is how to get money for ministry. Because all of these things cost money. You understand? Eh? And yet, the Lord does not permit us to do anything apart from take a simple offering without even any... You understand? Eh? And that includes looking after ourselves. Now, there is no other work I do apart from this. So that means this pays all my bills. Okay? And I am not destitute. You understand? So, but I had to learn something of how to get it from the Lord. Now, so he came and asked, so he asked me, how do you pay the bills and all these things? So I tried to explain to him. But I knew I was hitting a brick wall. Eh? Because somebody who has been corrupted, eh? Like getting away that thing, that mindset out of him. So he actually tried the way of faith. I taught him about the faith thing and what. But you see, when you're changing from one foundation to the next, you have to go through a valley. When you're moving from one hill of Bufere to one hill of moving by faith, there has to be a valley, okay? And you have to suffer that valley. But when you go through it, you come on a sure foundation. And never fear going through that valley. Amen? Now, because everybody who walks by faith has been through it, and God was with them throughout. I remember when I would be almost getting discouraged, I would dream something which the Lord would encourage me. No, 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 don't give up. You're on the right path. Amen? And that's how it happened. Like, until you, by the grace of God, eh? Because he's, now, so I tried to tell him, you know, you can do this, you don't have to go through it. Ah, man, but I could see it was hard. It was hard. This is somebody who has tested the corrupt way. And anyhow, at the end of it, he threw out my stuff. And the next, last thing I knew, he was back with his old women. Anyhow. So, covetousness. Eh? Covetousness. And now, there is nobody who covets who gets. Eh? Now, I'll tell you that the law of the Spirit is when you do not attach any value to anything, you actually get it. You understand? Eh? The people whom you see, now people see people having money. Now, you wait. Like, give me a few years from now, eh, when I'm extremely rich. Eh? I don't know even if it's years or months. Eh? But anyhow, but people see that. And they don't know that you actually are totally not interested in that. You end time. Eh? You understand? Eh? Like, you're consumed by this thing. That, and when God takes you and gets you consumed with his calling, you find that the money comes even without you considering it. Now, you find things just... And meanwhile, you're busy serving the Lord. Meanwhile, you're busy doing what? Pursuing God. Now, I learned that when I serve God, money serves me. Amen? God never called me to serve money. Like, futility. When people spend all their lives working for money. Like, I see it all the time. And you see people working. And okay, you feel for them. Because that was never God's intention. Can you imagine Jesus said, look at the birds. And then he said, now you human beings. And he said that the man in a chill, but they will never go hungry. Anyhow, so covetousness. Eh? Now, those are, by the way, the number one corruptor is covetousness. Covetousness means desire for worldly material things. Eh? Now, of course, you will see some pastor who has worldly material things, who has a personalized number plate or a certain, you know, man of God. And then you think he thinks like you. He doesn't. He does not. He has no interest in that thing. It's just his interest is the Lord. You understand? Eh? And all these things are added unto you. Like, that is it. Now, because for me even, by the way, to come up with, I wish you knew, eh? Like, every week. Like, I start thinking about it the minute I step out of here. I mean, my Bible at night. Like, last night I slept at 4 a.m. meditating on these things. And I didn't even sleep. I actually woke up. Anyway. But the point is, eh? Now, but then when I wake up, I'm not thinking about money. Then when I wake up, like, I've gone to the bank account and I find somebody put money whom I don't even know. Eh? And I went expecting less and I found more. But when I was expecting, I was doing my end-time research. What God called me to do. Amen? Anyhow. But you see, when the devil corrupts with covetousness and you start thinking money, now that is the almost all the corruption. By the way, it is the most dangerous one. The ones of sexual immorality and all, those ones are easily recoverable from. You understand? Eh? But the money one, when somebody is corrupted with money, my God, it is very difficult for them to turn around and they think of anything as being above money, including God. And there are so many people like that in the church who go and plant seeds, okay? Who have sold themselves telling lies about orphanages and what, getting money from bazoo. You know those things, eh? Now, they would even find somebody who is pursuing the way of God. Hmm? I remember way back, some pastor came to what? To, after, you know, when Zoe was at La Bonita, one man of God came, a pastor, came to Prophet Elvis and chasing him after the fellowship and said, I want to talk to you. And he said, no, 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 I'm busy, right? The guy said, no, just 1 minute, 1 minute. So he stood and, so the pastor asked him, tell me one thing. So, all these things you're doing, it is the Lord. You don't have any like benefactors, somebody in America, not, this is all the Lord. Then the prophet said, yes, it is all the Lord. He said, like there is nobody, says there is nobody, it's the Lord. Then the pastor said, I knew God could do it. He just wanted to see one example, you understand? Because they have been presented with fake examples. The only way you can get money is by lying about orphanages and doing what? Eh? So this man, deep inside him, he had a conviction that God can supply my needs. Eh? That God can supply my ministry needs. Eh? So what he needed was just one example. So he just went and told him, tell me, man of God. So you mean to tell me this is all the Lord? Then he said, it is all the Lord. All of this, you know, it is all the Lord. He said, thank you very much. That's all I needed to know. Praise the Lord. Because that man is faced every day with people whom I call the evangelists of Mammon, who say, the only way you can get money is, and once the cassid enters you, it is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Because everything after that becomes about what? Money. 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 Somebody says, pray for me and what? Yonde. Concentrate on those. Like it comes slowly. The next thing you know, you've been corrupted. And that's how a spirit, which is of God, which was put through the church, can easily be corrupted. That's one of the main ways. Anyway, I think I would end with that. But also you have to know that the scripture says clearly that their damnation will be worse. And Peter says it would have been better for them if they had not known the Lord. Amen? Glory to God.